Prabhuji, for joining the call. I will start, Prabhuji. Mataji, can you? Yeah. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji. Prabhuji, to enlighten us on the topic of the Gaurakhara. Therefore, before I hand over call to you, I would like to hand over call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji for reading brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Praveen Govind Prabhuji, please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, my dhanut pranams to all the devotees on the call. Dhanut pranam to Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is a monk, mentor and spiritual author. He has been educated in electronics and telecommunication engineering from the Government College of Engineering, Pune. He subsequently served as a software engineer in a prominent multinational software corporation. Seeing the prevalent problems of stress, depression, addiction and overall misdirection, all due to lack of spirituality, he felt inspired to dedicate his life to the cause of sharing spiritual wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. He travels all over the world from Australia to America, giving talks on spiritual subjects in universities such as Princeton, Cambridge, and companies such as Intel and Microsoft. Prabhuji is the author of the world's only Gita Daily feature, wherein he writes daily a 300-word inspirational reflection on the verses from Bhagavad Gita. As of now, he has written over 1,700 Gita meditations that are posted on gitadaily.com and are read through daily feeds by thousands from all over the world. He also answers questions by seekers on his site, thespiritualscientist.com. where his over 3,500 audio answers and several hundred articles are available. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Praveen Govind Prabhuji, for reading introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranamal Goishtu Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Gaurakatha. Now I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मुखं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
हरे कृष्ण प्रभुजी
श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवप्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Prabhuji, we can't able to hear Prabhuji properly. Could you please speak loudly, okay. Prabhuji?
Yeah, I'll just try to fix it. Give me a moment. So, let me know as the audio level improves. Actually,
yes,
I'm getting an echo. Is it because the audience mic is also on? Now the echo is gone.
Yeah, now sounds good, Prabhuji.
Is it better? Okay. Thank you. If it goes down, just let me know and I'll try to adjust then.
Sure, Prabhuji.
So, I would like to speak today on the topic of how Lord Chaitanya manifests Krishna's passion and compassion. So, I'll use a PowerPoint, which will also be like a whiteboard. So I will also add something in the PowerPoint as we speak. Lord Chaitanya is an extraordinary manifestation of the Lord, of divinity, in fact. In fact, there are many different manifestations of the Lord in the bhakti tradition, outside the bhakti tradition. And among them, Lord Chaitanya is unique. So let's try to understand that. that Krishna is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Now, when we use Krishna's passion and compassion, what do I mean by these two words, passion and compassion? Let's look at that. So when I'm using the word passion, usually we in the devotional circles have a slightly negative connotation for the word passion, because passion often means something negative, like the mode of material nature, rajoguna, that entangles us in this world. However, the word passion also has a positive sense. So, for example, somebody may say, music is my passion. What that means is, that person, I can't live without music. So, with that positive usage of the word passion, we can even say that Krishna is our passion as a devotee. For the gopis, Krishna is their passion. In fact, in the devotional circles, often it is said that just as a devotee aspires to love Krishna, the way people in passion are attracted to worldly objects. Yuvatinam yatha yunam yuvatim cha yuvatim yunam tatha mano viramate tatra mano me ramatam tvai. Just as a young man is attracted to a young woman, or a young woman is attracted to a young man, so may my Lord, my mind be attracted to you. It's a prayer by Rupa Goswami. So here the idea is of spiritualizing passion. So passion in this sense refers to our driving aspiration, our defining calling. It is what makes us wake up every day. It is what makes our life worth living with all the challenges we may be facing in our life. So we are going to use the word passion in this positive sense. So Krishna's passion and Krishna's compassion, how both of these are manifested in Lord Chaitanya. Am I not audible or something? Okay. I have the chat on. If I'm not audible, let me know. So what is the holistic understanding of God? God is talked about in various traditions. And often that it is the talk is about God and his greatness and, of course, his compassion to us. But when we talk about God as Krishna, there are two aspects. His compassion is manifested in his relationship with us, in how he arranges for the material world, how he descends to the material world, and how he cares for all of us, including how he cares for us even when we don't care for him. So it is his relationship with his world that his compassion is manifested. And beyond his, you could say, formal or official role as the maintainer of the world, where he's compassionate, there is his self-existence. Self-existence means we can say what Krishna does at home. And in his self-existence, where he delights in love with his devotees, that is where his passion is manifested. Krishna lives for loving his devotees. So there is Krishna's compassion and there is Krishna's passion. And Lord Chaitanya is something very extraordinary. So we could say Krishna's passion is manifested in the spiritual world, in the way he loves his devotees, the way he longs to please his devotees, to interact with his devotees. And if we consider the way Krishna and Radha Rani try to meet each other, and they go through all the challenges created by the setting in the spiritual world of Parakya Rasa. So it's extraordinary passion which Krishna manifests. And then there is Krishna's compassion. It is manifested in the material world, in relationship with us as devotees. But there is something extraordinary. I said, Lord Chaitanya is a unique avatar. Why? Because where Krishna's passion and Krishna's compassion intersect, that is where Lord Chaitanya manifests. Where Krishna's self-existence in relationship with his devotees and Krishna's mission in this world intersect, that is where the Lord takes on the manifestation as Lord Chaitanya. So this is talked about in the second and third chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's talked about in second and third chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. where we see his manifestation in a way that is unparalleled. Anarpit charinchirat karunaya avatirna kalau. So what was never given before, he does that. He comes to give us that. So let's try to understand both these aspects. How he manifests the compassion of the Lord and how he manifests his passion. So Chaitanya means one who has the supreme Chaitana. One who, Chaitana is consciousness. Chaitanya is one who is filled with consciousness. Now, we all have consciousness, but our consciousness is finite. Our consciousness is limited. Whereas the Lord's consciousness is unlimited. He is, we all are conscious, but he's supremely conscious. So that supreme consciousness both manifests Krishna's passion and Krishna's compassion. Let's see how this happens. That we have So first of all, why we need compassion and how the Lord manifests that compassion when he descends to the world, usually. Let's look at that. So why we need compassion? Because we are all souls suffering in material existence. And there are various kinds of suffering in this world. Some sufferings are inevitable and unavoidable no matter what we do. Whether we live piously or impiously, whether we live devoted with devotion or without devotion. There are some sufferings which are unavoidable. Those are janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. They are unavoidable sufferings. And then there are self-inflicted sufferings. That means when we function in this world, if we let ourselves get controlled by our desires, by our lower cravings, kama krodha lobha, then what happens is we make our life worse than it needs to be. Through our greed, through our lust, we make our own existential problems tougher. And then there are socially inflicted. That is, others' lust, anger and greed that is there, that makes they make our life also tougher. So if around us, there is somebody who is very short-tempered, there is around us somebody who is very greedy, very exploitative, then what happens? They make our life tougher. So in this way, there are various kinds of suffering in the world. So when the Lord descends to this world, what is his purpose? His purpose is actually to help us deal with these sufferings. So now that which is an unavoidable suffering, what can we do about it? The world's inevitable suffering that is there. So this is going to be there. We can't avoid it. So tolerate it. But how do we tolerate it? With spiritual knowledge. And then he says, this is 2:14 in the Bhagavad Gita. And as we move forward, what happens is our consciousness rises upward. That by the Lord's grace, when our consciousness rises upward, then he descends to give us a spiritual knowledge by which we can spiritualize our consciousness and we can tolerate and transcend the world's suffering. But more than that, his compassion manifests as what are the self-inflicted sufferings that are there in this world? He helps us deal with that by purifying us. When Krishna descends to this world, what does he do? He helps us purify ourselves. So in 4, 7, and 8, the famous verses describing Krishna's descent are there, yada yada hi dharmasya. But when he descends, what is the purpose of his descent? Ultimately, it is to help us become attracted to him. Janma karma chane divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so arjuna. And then, how do we come to him? He wants us to come to him by spiritualizing our consciousness. Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashritah bahavo jnana tapasa bhuta madbhavam agatah. We become absorbed in him, that's how we come to him. So our own self-destructive cravings decrease. So the Lord descends to provide us this. And this is the mission of all the manifestations of the Lord. So Krishna does it, even Lord Chaitanya does it. We'll see how he does it. But the Lord, when he descends, this is his compassion. How we can think of our own lives as we have become more and more purified. At the very least, we can see we are not increasing our own sufferings by our actions. We are not having, at least our self-destructive cravings have decreased. And then, of course, just we changing ourselves not enough. How do we deal with socially inflicted sufferings? The Pandavas, they didn't have lust, anger, greed, but still they suffered. So the Lord came to Dharma Samsthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. So he descends time and time, again and again. And what does he do? He establishes regulation in society. He regulates others so that even if they have lust, anger, and greed, they can't get away with it. He establishes social order. So Dharma here refers to social order, virtuous or righteous social order. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. So all this the Lord also does in every avatar. So Lord Chaitanya also does it. So the point I'm making here is this material world is a manifestation of the Lord's compassion. And he manifests, every avatar manifests his compassion and helps us to deal with the world's problems, whether they are inevitable, whether they are self-created or they are socially created. And ultimately, what is compassion in this world? What is real compassion? Is we consider this world to be, we are all in samsara, the cycle of life and death. And if it's a hospital, if we make some patient more comfortable in the hospital bed. Well, yes, we don't want the patients in the hospital bed to be miserable. If there is some pain-killing medicine, some anodynes which can help them have less pain, that's good. But the hospital's purpose is not just to give painkillers. The hospital's purpose is to treat so that we can get out of the world. So Krishna comes not just to establish dharma in the world so that the suffering of the world decreases. Krishna comes to establish dharma in the heart by which we can rise to prema and we can come out of this world. So when there is less disorder in the world, relatively speaking, if people's lust, anger, greed is less, say for example, Second World War was there, that people's anger and greed had gone mad and the world was like hell at that time. So relatively speaking, after that, for the last 50, 60 years before the pandemic hit, the world wasn't relatively comfortable, relatively not that distressful a place. So what happens is, if there are some curves, whereas people with dictatorial tendencies don't disrupt the world, then things are relatively comfortable. But it's not just to make us comfortable forever. The Lord's compassion is that ultimately he wants to help us to get out of the world. So he descends into this world so that we can ascend out of this world. Not just to make the world comfortable, but to help us come out of the world. The purpose of Krishna is not to just help us in this world. It is to help us change ourselves so that we can get out of the world. And that is where Lord Chaitanya's mercy becomes extremely, extraordinarily manifested. So I talked till now about Lord Krishna's compassion. Now let's look at Lord Krishna's passion. So when you look at, so the way this talk class is flowing is that first I'm going to talk about Krishna's compassion and passion. Then I'm going to talk about how Lord Chaitanya manifests that compassion and passion. So Krishna's love for his devotees, he lives for them. Now, Krishna cannot live without his devotees. He subordinates even his omnipotence for them. Krishna is God, but just to reciprocate love with Mother Yashoda, he acts as if Mother Yashoda tells him to bring a box or bring some container, vessel. He struggles to bring and he says, I can't bring it. And that endears into Lord Krishna's mind. So he subordinates his omnipotence for them. He doesn't act as if he's all supreme. And he takes on whatever role and does whatever activity will enhance his loving exchanges with them. So if his Gopa friends want him to climb on, want him to carry them, he does that. So this is Krishna's passion. God, we can say, Krishna forgets his Krishna consciousness out of his love for his devotees. Krishna doesn't remember that I am God. Krishna just thinks, I want to love these devotees. He doesn't even think of them as devotees. He thinks of his friends, his parents, his lovers. And that's his passion. He's completely absorbed in them. And the devotees, of course, have a passion for him. Now, while Krishna is reciprocating in love like this, what happens is there's something that mystifies Krishna too. Are you able to see me, or you're able to see only the PowerPoint?
We are able to see you, and also no PowerPoint, Prabhuji. Now no PowerPoint.
Okay, fine. Yeah, so somehow in my PowerPoint, I'm not able to see myself. That's why I was worried. Thank you. So what mystifies Krishna? Krishna, in one level, is all-knowing. But yes, as I said, so Krishna, what mystifies Krishna is, why do my devotees love me so much? Why does my topmost devotee, Radharani, love me so much? He just can't figure it out. What is there in me that she's attracted to? When, if we consider in the Ras Leela, the gopis give up everything for Krishna. And then Krishna gives them up and goes away. And yet, when Krishna goes away, at that time the gopis don't give him up. The gopis are still searching for Krishna. They're longing, when will we see Krishna? So Krishna is mystified. Krishna says, now gopis, the kind of love you have for me, I can't repay you. He's overwhelmed. So although he is all-knowing, he just doesn't know. It's amazing. How can Krishna not know something? That is what mystifies Krishna. How much is this love? So normally, we also have this experience. Sometimes when we regularly attend a kirtan or regularly go to the temple, sometimes we may have 100 thoughts going on when we even go in front of Krishna or this kirtan going on. But we see somebody else in the kirtan, their eyes are closed. They are completely absorbed in the kirtan. You know, what are they experiencing in this kirtan? I also want to experience it. So like that, although Krishna has great love for his devotees, but when he sees his devotees' love for him, what happens is he's mystified. What are they tasting in this? What is it that they're experiencing? And he says, I want to experience that. I want to experience that, but I can't. So why can he not experience? Because that is the mystery of whenever there is something which you can't find out. See, we all have some level of curiosity. In some areas, we have curiosity. So that this mystery excites Krishna. You know, what is it that Radharani is experiencing? What is it that the gopis are experiencing? That they're ready to give up everything for my sake. So it creates excitement, it creates energy, it creates endeavor. So to know this, Krishna, I want to know it. Whatever it takes, I will do it. Within all living beings, there is this curiosity. And the curiosity may manifest it in different ways for different people, but the curiosity is there in everyone. Krishna is supreme, so he has supreme curiosity also. So he thinks, hey, these gopis have something which I don't have. They are relishing so much love. How are they relishing so much love? I want to relish that. So when something we don't know, when it's something we can't experience, we want to experience it. And you can clearly see that this is so delicious. This is so delicious. How can I be without it? But the problem is that we are all irreducibly individual. So, you know, we are all individuals. So Krishna can't experience our individuality from our perspective. He's infinite, we are finite. Krishna controls everything except one thing in the world, and that is our heart. Now, he can force everything into submission. He can stop even Mahavishnu from taking away the Brahmana sons when he wanted to take him away. He can stop Indra's rainfall. He can control everything. but he can't control one thing. That is the soul's heart. Of course, in absolute sense, he can, but he has given everyone free will and he doesn't violate that free will. So what happens is, ultimately, every soul's heart is like unfathomed mystery for Krishna. So for Krishna, at one level, the topmost devotee's heart is the topmost mystery. So he wants to experience it. So what does he do? To experience that, so if we consider a ladder, the devotee is at the bottom of the ladder is devotion, and at the top is Krishna. So Krishna is here, and Krishna is receiving the devotee's love. But Krishna wants to relish that love. And the devotee is different, Krishna is different. So what can I do? So how can I experience this? So Krishna decides to descend to the world. Radha bhava jiti suvalitam navni Krishna swarupam. So Krishna becomes Radharani. Radha bhava jiti. He takes on Radharani's emotion, bhava, and he takes on Radharani's complexion. And that's how Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So it is Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani. So what has happened is Krishna is up here, the receiver of devotion, but he wants to become the relisher of devotion. So how can he do that? He has to take on the mood of Radharani. So that which is a mystery for Krishna, that mystery he wants to demystify, he wants to relish. So when Lord Chaitanya descends to this world, he is manifesting his compassion. He is manifesting compassion of Krishna. So he's called the Mahavadanyaya Avatar. So how does he manifest the compassion? By teaching devotion, which is the supreme path for liberation. There are many different ways for elevating us, but there is nothing like the potency of bhakti. And not just bhakti, he offers the topmost bhakti. Bhakti to Krishna, the topmost manifestation of divinity, that is Krishna. So he offers that. And not only does he teach devotion, he demonstrates devotion. So some teachers may teach, okay, you do like this, you do like this, you do like this. But some teachers actually demonstrate themselves and help teaching by example. So he's the ultimately helpful teacher. He doesn't come as God, you should practice bhakti. He comes as a devotee and demonstrates devotion. That is his extraordinary compassion. So Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna comes and says, Sarva dharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam raja. But Lord Chaitanya shows how to do that mamekam sharanam raja. And in that way, same teaching of Krishna is not just reiterated by teaching, but is reiterated by demonstrating, by actually doing himself. So this is Lord Chaitanya's compassion. Now if you look at Lord Chaitanya's life's timeline, we know that his life is described in various scriptures. It is described in the Adilila, in the Madhyalila, in the Antalila. So what happens is, in the Adilila, it's mostly, if you consider Chaitanya Charitamrita specifically, Chaitanya Bhagavat also has Adilila, Madhyalila, Antalila, and that is slightly different. Let's focus on Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. In the Adilila, it's primarily Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. There is a lot of philosophy in the first about 10 chapters or so. It goes on to set up the philosophical context. Then it describes how Lord Chaitanya becomes from Nimai to Nimai Pandit. And from Nimai Pandit, he becomes the Bhakta Shiromani Nimai. And then he becomes the Yati Shiromani, the Vairagya Shiromani, the top crest jewel of sannyasis. That's there. But Adi realize how some people, at least at that time, the Advaita Vadis thought that, okay, those who are sentimental, they can practice bhakti. Those who are intellectual, they'll practice jnana. And jnana is higher than bhakti. But Lord Chaitanya demonstrated how he became the topmost scholar. So he succeeded according to their definition, and then he rejected their definition of success to show something else. But that's how he attracted everyone. See, in general, in the world, what happens is people, they are attracted to someone who is successful. So if people are practicing bhakti, okay, that's good. But suppose somebody is very successful and they are practicing bhakti. when Srila Prabhupada was there, George Harrison was chanting Hare Krishna. Thousands and thousands of people across the world started chanting Hare Krishna. Many of you now are in America. And while living in America, you practice bhakti and you come and your relatives come to know that you are so successful materially, you are practicing bhakti. Hey, why are you doing this? So if we come to know that there are some brahmacharis, some sadhus, okay, there are some, they have always been there. But you come to know that they are very well educated, they are very successful materially. And then they gave it up. I say, why did you give it up? There must be something special here, that's why you gave it up. So like that, just as that principle applies in today's world, it applies in that Lord Chaitanya's times also. So Lord Chaitanya didn't have to become an academic scholar. He didn't have to become a pandit. But he did that out of his compassion. So he is becoming a superlative scholar who at the age of 14 defeated Keshav Kashmiri. What was he doing by all that? He was actually demonstrating that I can be successful in according to your definition of success. But after doing that, he says, your definition of success is not the ultimate definition of success. So when he started, he went to Kanai Natshala and he saw Krishna and he said, I just want to go to Vrindavan. At that time, a celestial message told him, don't go to Vrindavan right now. Now the time is not right, go later. So then what happens is, he decides to stay on. But he comes back and he tries to teach, but he can no longer teach. And he doesn't reject his student. He doesn't condemn teaching. Those who want to teach, those who want to study grammar, he says, I can no longer teach you. You please go to someone else and learn. For me, I can't see anything but Krishna everywhere. So if he had done that without any scholarship, his followers, his students, as well as others would have said, this is just a sentimental person. But what happens is, his students had seen how brilliant he was. And then he started explaining all words in terms of the dhatu of Krishna. And he said, I can't teach you anything. I can't teach you grammar. I can only speak about Krishna. His students said, we also want to learn about Krishna. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went through that phase of scholarship to demonstrate to people who were enamored by scholarship. Whether they were the Nyayaikas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode, Navadvip Mayapur was at that time, it had manifested a new school of logic called Navanyaya. Sarvam Bhattacharya was one of the pioneers of that. And there were, of course, the Advaitavadis who were pervading all of India. And they respected scholarship. But Lord Chaitanya manifested great scholarship and he renounced scholarship to accept devotion. So that was his compassion. And then, in Madhyalila, what is he doing? He's spreading devotion. He's fulfilling Krishna's compassionate mission. And he's doing that to the classes and to the masses. To the masses, wherever he goes, just by seeing his beauty, his emotion, and his dance, it is said. How captivatingly beautiful his golden complexion itself captivated people. Then seeing his devotional emotions, how he would be Ashru Pravaha, how there we in Chaitanya Bhagavata it is said that the same Ganga that came from the Lord's feet in a previous avatar now came from the Lord's eyes in this avatar. It came through Vamanadeva's feet. But Lord Chaitanya would be filled with so much love for Krishna that tears of love would come from his eyes. And seeing such extraordinary emotion, people would be astounded, people would be inspired, and they would be captivated. So his beauty, his emotion, and then his dance. When he would dance, it would be so mesmerizing that everybody would want to come and see it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would travel far and wide, people would get to see his dance. And later on, when he settled in Jagannath Puri, even historians of religion say that the Rath Yatra had been going on for centuries. But when Lord Chaitanya based himself in Jagannath Puri, the Rath Yatra gained an appeal like never before. Because people would come not just to see Lord Jagannath, they would come to see Lord Chaitanya dance in front of Lord Jagannath. And it was an irresistible combination. Jagannath's glory and Lord Chaitanya's glory. His glorious dance. So he captivated the masses, but it was not just the masses. He shared devotion even with the classes. The way he transformed Sarvam Bhattacharya, the way he transformed Prakashanand Saraswati. Now, Prakashanand Saraswati was one of the greatest scholars at that time. And initially he thought this is just a sentimental sannyasi dancing on the streets. But then when Lord Chaitanya started speaking, Prakashanand Saraswati understood what is real Prakash, what is real Ananda, and what is real Saraswati. Real Prakash is not the Prakash of the Brahma Jyoti. Real Prakash is the Prakash, is the illumination that comes from Krishna, the all attractiveness from Krishna. The Brahman effulgence is actually the effulgence of the body of Krishna. The real Ananda is not Brahmananda, but it is Bhakti Ananda. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that Brahmananda is simply a spark of, is like a drop, and Bhakti Ananda is like an ocean. And real Saraswati, he had thought that real Saraswati, real intellectual learning is what? Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadharamanta. That to relish in finding different interpretations of the Vedanta Vakya. But by associating with Lord Chaitanya, I understood that the real Ananda, the real blessing of Saraswati is what? To become a Buddha. Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Know Krishna and to offer one's heart to Krishna. And Bodhayantaha Parasparam Kathayantashchama Amnityam Tushyanti Charamanti Cha. So the ultimate blessing of Saraswati Devi is not to relish Vedanta, but to relish Bhagavata. To rejoice in the glories of Bhagavan. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he not only manifested Krishna's compassion by reaching the classes, but also reaching the masses. And these were hugely influential people. When Sarvam Bhattacharya was transformed from an Advaitavadi to a Vaishnava, what happened was, his influence extended not only to the masses in Jagannath Puri, but his influence extended even to the king. And Pratap Rudra himself was transformed by hearing, by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty and glory, but also by hearing about his glory from Prakash. Became transformed. What happened is, Prabhupada said that that Varanasi is like the Vrindavan of the Mayavadis. That means what Vrindavan is for the Mayavadis, the ultimately holy place. Prakash for them, for Mayavadis, it is like that. So, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was a stupendous feat. It's like, say, in cricket matches, that often there is a big home advantage. If India is playing with Australia or England or Pakistan, and India is playing in India, and India wins in India, that's good. Any victory is good. But say, if India goes to Australia, and say, recently, in a ground where Australia had not been defeated for 3-4 decades, India defeated Australia for the first time. So, broke their stronghold. The newspapers were all filled with, they were agog with the glory of India's achievement. So, to go to the enemy's strongest territory and to defeat them over there, that is a glorious achievement. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to Varanasi, which is like the stronghold of the Mayavadis. And there, defeating and transforming Prakashana Saraswati, that was an incredible feat of compassion for him. Now, the effect was, it was like a domino effect, a multiplier effect. The whole of Vrindavan became flooded. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biographers say that actually, in Varanasi, in Prayag, in that whole area, there are three rivers, but the whole area rarely becomes flooded, despite the three rivers being there. But doesn't become get flooded fully. But when Lord Chaitanya went over there, he flooded it with love of God. That is his potency. So he is manifesting Krishna's compassion over there in extraordinary ways. Taking bhakti to places where it had never reached before. But then, especially in his Antilila, he starts manifesting Krishna's passion. Actually, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas describe that that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, he's always Krishna, and as Krishna is manifesting, he is manifesting both the compassion and the passion. But it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Ramananda Rai. That, so if you consider Lord Chaitanya, in Lord Chaitanya, there is the Krishna and there is the Radha. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is delivering the world, he is channeling the Krishna from within him. So when he is, the compassion, when it is there, he is channeling Krishna. But when he is relishing Krishna Bhakti, that he is channeling the Radha within him. So within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's both Krishna and Radha. And so when he is delivering the world, he is channeling or manifesting Krishna. When he is relishing Bhakti, he is manifesting Radha. So it is his encounter with Ramananda Rai that starts manifesting the Radha in a very explicit way from within him. So he has a very deep discussion. And that discussion is not so much about establishing what is the actual meaning of the Vedanta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Ramananda Rai is like none of his other conversations. His conversations with Prakashan Saraswati and Saravamattacharya are more for establishing what is the actual conclusion of the Vedas. His conversation with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, is more for teaching the conclusion of the Vedas in a way that can be written in books and taught by others, or taught by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami through their books to others. But his teachings are teachings with Sanatana Ramana. His discussion with Ramananda is simply for relishing the highest mellows of devotion. So if you consider Radha and Krishna, both are there within Lord Chaitanya, then when he encounters Ramananda Rai, the Radha within him starts manifesting more and more. And when he comes back to Puri after his both South India and North India tours, and then he meets Ramananda Rai. It takes Ramananda Rai some time because he's at a very responsible post in the Chennai area, in South India, near Kavur basically. Chennai province, as we can call it that time. And so whatever it is, whatever was the name at that time, broadly, he comes back, and then Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai unite. It is like Krishna or Radharani uniting with her intimate associate. And then he's simply channeling the Radha within him. So that the passion that Krishna wanted to relish, he starts relishing that. So if we see in the Antilila, Lord Chaitanya is not doing much preaching. We can say, of course, he's preaching by his example. Ultimately, our preaching is not just by how much we reach out to others and tell them about Krishna. Yes, we may tell people about Krishna, but when people come to our temples and they see if we devotees are quarreling with each other, we devotees are having grudges against each other, then what is this? I don't want to be a part of this. But if they come to the temples and they see we are actually relishing Krishna Bhakti, we are all experiencing higher taste, we are delighting in serving the deities, delighting in dancing in kirtans, delighting in hearing Harikatha. A happy devotee is the greatest preacher. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing that. You know, he is manifesting the extraordinary happiness of devotion in his Antilila. And he is not only manifesting that devotion in his dealings with the Lord internally, but also his exchanges with his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we analyze the Antilila, I have a whole series of classes on Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila, where I discuss the sixfold loving exchanges, you know, which are described in the Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam, which are described in the Upadeshamrita, how Lord Chaitanya has these sixfold loving exchanges with various devotees, and that's what the whole Antilila is about. So what is he doing? He's simply relishing devotion. So Krishna's passion, I want to know what is it about me that my devotees taste. And how the devotees taste? The devotees taste by remembering Krishna inside their hearts, but they are also tasted by discussing with other devotees, by exchanging with other devotees. As I said, bodhayanta parasparam kathayanta shima nityam tushyanti chitamanti cha. That's what Lord Chaitanya is doing. Lord Chaitanya asks Swarup Damodar Goswami, he asks his other associates to speak about Krishna. And even he doesn't, see, Lord Chaitanya is not so much in the mood of compassion. That's why Pratap Rudra comes again and again. He doesn't give much attention. But when Pratap Rudra is relishing Krishna Leela, he's singing the Gopi Gita. And when he comes to the verse about Dhurita Jana, Dhurita Jana, there is no one like you. Then what happens? He starts relishing it incredibly. He says, he says, you are Buridaja. You are giving me remembrance of Krishna. And he embraces him. So it is, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compassionate to Pratapurudra, yes, he was. But it was when Pratapurudra put aside his godly position and he wanted to relish Krishna Lila and he helped the Lord relish Krishna Lila, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was merciful to him. So he is manifesting Krishna's passion over there in the Antilila. And through that, he is captivating his devotees' hearts. And through that captivation, he is sending, he is creating a legacy by which future generations of devotees can also be captivated by the Lord's pastimes. So Lord Chaitanya, his behavior is both mysterious and merciful. So he is mysterious to the extent he is manifesting Krishna's passion. And he's merciful whenever he's manifesting Krishna's compassion. So what he shares and how he shares, that is his mercy. What is he sharing? He's sharing love for Krishna by chanting the holy names, by teaching others to chant the holy names, by speaking the Lord's glories, by encouraging others to release those Lord's glories. He says, speak Krishna's names and tell Krishna's names to others. Speak Krishna's glories, share Krishna's glories to others. So his Mahavadanyaya is what he shares and how he shares. And the mysterious aspect is, what is he experiencing? How is he behaving? The devotees just couldn't understand at times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so extraordinary that sometimes he would just be talking with devotees, and while talking with devotees, suddenly the devotees would say, he's gone. Where is he gone? What happened? And they would see that Lord Chaitanya is running like a wind. What happened? He sees Krishna playing his flute. He sees Krishna calling him. Just as the gopis would leave everything and run toward Krishna. And they would hear Krishna's flute. So like that, Lord Chaitanya is channeling Krishna's passion, the mood of Radharani. And he races away. And then he gets there and he says, Krishna has disappeared. And just as in the Gopi, in the Rasa Panchadhyay, when Radharani and Krishna are together, and then suddenly Krishna disappears from Radharani's vision. And Radharani faints. So like that, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chase Krishna and Krishna would disappear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would faint. And in the Anandandavan Chapu describes, why would Radharani faint? Why would Lord Chaitanya faint? That same reason applies over here. He says that you know, we all have a finite capacity to experience pain. Suppose somebody has a terrible accident. Then what happens is, the pain of the accident is so great that the body can't sustain the pain. And in order to be able to survive that pain, the body loses consciousness. That's why amid in serious accidents, people fall unconscious. So that can happen because of physical pain, but that can also happen because of emotional pain. So in the Anandandavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur says that when Krishna left Radharani, at that time, the pain was so unbearable that the only way Radharani could survive that pain of separation from Krishna was by losing her consciousness. So in Vrindavan, everything is personified. So he says that Murcha Devi, Murcha is unconsciousness. Murcha Devi comes to the rescue of Radharani by the arrangement of Yogamaya and saves her. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't bear separation from Krishna after having seen Krishna. If Krishna is so close and suddenly he has gone away, what is this? He would faint. So that is, he's manifesting Krishna's passion over there. So what he's experiencing, how he's behaving, his body would undergo extraordinary transformations. So what was happening? Sometimes his limbs would extend so much. He was already ajanulambita bhujau. His arms would extend down to his knees. But sometimes his arms would become so long that it would appear as if his arms are sticking together simply by the skin. And as if his bones are not there only. His body has become extended. And sometimes they would shrink completely, as it would be as if he's manifesting Kurma Avatar. Now all the limbs of his body are withdrawn inside. So what is happening? At that time, it is like when Lord Chaitanya, he would see Krishna going away and he would want to reach out to Krishna. So he would extend his limbs as far as possible. Krishna, I want to reach you. And then when he would feel Krishna's presence, just like in Jagannath's case, when Krishna was hearing, Krishna in Dwarka was hearing Rohini speak the glories of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, what happened was Krishna wanted to absorb himself so much that I don't want any distractions. So Krishna's limbs withdrew into his body, and that's how Krishna became Jagannath. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya's limbs would withdraw deep in, because I just want to experience Krishna. I don't want to experience anything else. So his bodily transformations, they were just a mystery for ordinary people. The most intimate devotees could understand what was happening. Others could not. So this is Krishna's passion. This is Krishna's passion. You know, in the Christian tradition, there is called the Passion of Jesus, Passion of Christ. There are movies about the Passion of Christ. So what they have the idea is that there are some bodily transformations that came in Jesus. Now, when Jesus was crucified, what happened was they put nails through his body, and yet he remained devoted to God. So in that tradition, they say that if some saints, they become very devoted, then just as there were crucifixion marks on the body of Jesus, those similar marks may come on the body of the saints. And they say they're channeling the passion of Jesus. Now, of course, there are always imitation people, people who want to claim to be saints, but they create artificial scratches and wounds on their body and they claim that I'm manifesting the passion of Jesus. That's all imitation. But the idea is, okay, Jesus manifested some passion. Lord Chaitanya manifests a far, far greater passion. The kind of transformations of the body and the kind of ecstatic experiences of devotion Lord Chaitanya had, there are practically no precedents, no parallels to that anywhere in the world's religious history. Lord Chaitanya is channeling Krishna's passion, demonstrating to the world that there are experiences of ecstasy, there are experiences of love that are far, far beyond human comprehension, far, far even beyond human imagination. And that is what he is manifesting. And thus he is manifesting Chaitanya Chandra. He is now the Lord is said that he is Chaitanya Chandra. He is the majestic moon. But there is a difference between the moon and the sun. Both give light. But what happens is the sun gives heat. And sometimes the heat can become unbearable. Where the moon also gives, but it is, the moon's light is not blazing. It is soothing. It is soothing. It is gentle. It is comforting. So when Krishna manifests as the Vishwarupa, at that time, he said, Divi Surya Sahasrasya. It is like hundreds of suns are rising, and Durniriksham Samantara. I can't bear this. I can't see this. So when the Lord manifests as Vishnu, as the Paramatma, he's like the sun. He's just, he's fair, but fair means we all get the consequences of our actions. If you have done bad karma, we will get bad results. He's not against us, but he's not partial also. Name dveshyosti na priyaha. But so that he's just and he's stern. But when he's Lord Chaitanya, so Lord Chaitanya is like the moon, and he's merciful, he's gentle. So his mercy is so sweet, so soothing, that it uplifts the entire world. See, when the moon manifests in the sky, it is said that in the ocean high tides come. So when Lord Chaitanya manifests in the world, the ocean of love of God rises. When Lord Chaitanya manifests in our heart, the tide of love, tide of prema rises in our heart. And that is what we aspire for. That is what we long for. So what do we want to do? Lord Chaitanya, he's manifesting Krishna's compassion. He's manifesting Krishna's passion. So we can't artificially gate crash into his passion. But we assist in his compassionate mission. And by doing so, we access his passionate devotion. Prabhupada would say that the way to enter into Radha Krishna's pastimes is by spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. So when we do our various services, whether it is distributing books or organizing programs or arranging for festivals, arranging for virtual programs like these, We are assisting in the Lord's mission. We may sometimes feel Lord Chaitanya's devotion and all the experiences of ecstasy are so high and so lofty. And even now, when I see worldly objects, I get tempted. How far am I from that? Yes, we are far away. But still, no matter how far we are, the Lord can bridge all distances. The Lord can make us take giant leaps by which any amount of distance can be scaled. So we just try to assist Him. We assist in His compassionate mission. And then by His grace, He will give us access to His passionate devotion. So we can also glimpse this extraordinary ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya is manifesting. And how? By assisting in His mission. And that is our purpose. So His call for everyone was that, you know, we savor Krishna's glories and then we share Krishna's glories. And that is what Srila Prabhupada did. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, he says that reading about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, chanting Krishna's name, remembering my spiritual master's instruction, that is my sukkar, that is my nutrition. Prabhupada was savoring Krishna's glories in his heart, and then he was sharing Krishna's glories with the world. And that is what we try to do ourselves. This is our life of devotion. And this is synergistic, this is symbiotic. That means the more we savor Krishna's glories, the more we ourselves taste the joy of Krishna Bhakti, we will want to share it with others. Not just so that we can prove to the world what a great devotee I am, what a powerful teacher I am. See how many people I made devotees. No, that there won't be like that egoistic kind of motivation. It will just be, I am relishing this devotion. I want to share this devotion with others. And then along with that, we savor, we share. And when the more we share Krishna's glories, what happens is, in sharing those glories and thinking how we are to share those glories, we get more taste. We are savoring those glories more. And as we savor those glories more, we want to share them more. And that's how we rise higher and higher into devotion. So the more we try to assist Krishna's compassionate mission, the more we will access Krishna's passionate devotion. And providing us the opportunity for all this is Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya descends to this world, He's here to enrich our heart. And He's not only to enrich just our heart, but then use us to enrich the hearts of many, many others around us by blessing them all with this opportunity to relish Krishna's glories and to attain life's supreme perfection. That is, to participate in the life of ecstatic passion with Krishna. So I'll summarize. I spoke today about how Lord Chaitanya manifests Krishna's compassion and passion. So I talk about passion. It has a negative connotation as rajoguna, which entangles. It has a positive connotation as that which drives and defines us. And so we are talking about passion in that positive sense over here. So Krishna's compassion is manifested in the material world. Krishna's passion is manifested in the spiritual world. But Lord Chaitanya is that extraordinary avatar where the passion and the compassion intersect. So how does that happen? We discussed. First of all, why is Krishna's compassion needed in this world? Because we are all suffering in this world. And Krishna, how does He help us to deal with the world's sufferings? The inevitable sufferings of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, we learn to tolerate and transcend them by spiritualizing our consciousness. The self-inflicted miseries caused by our own lust, anger, greed, Krishna purifies us of those anarthas by attracting our heart towards Him. And the world inflicted miseries caused by others' lust, anger, and greed, Krishna comes, dharma samsthapana, to establish dharma in this world to regulate people's behavior. And what is Krishna's passion? That He lives for His devotees. He forgets His omnipotence for His devotees. He does plays whatever role and does whatever activity He wants for His devotees. And yet, Krishna feels, I am deprived. Although Krishna knows everything, there's one thing He doesn't know. What is it that the devotees are relishing in relationship with Me? What is it that Radharani is relishing? And to relish that, He becomes Radharani. So the divine becomes the devoted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests is actually Krishna with the emotion and the complexion of Radharani. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to this world, he manifests both Krishna's compassion and passion. So first part I discussed was how Krishna has both passion and compassion. The second part was how Lord Chaitanya manifests Krishna's passion and compassion. So Krishna, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Adi Leela and Madhya Leela is largely manifesting Krishna's compassion. That he in the Adi Leela is establishing scholarship as a foundation for devotion. Not that doesn't mean that everybody who is scholarly, everybody has to become scholarly to become devoted, but rather the devotees are not unscholarly. Devotees are trans-scholarly. That the devotees, as he says, that I can attain success in your definition, and then I reject your definition of success to find a higher success. So because he was so scholarly, even the scholarly were attracted to the path of bhakti through him. And then his compassion was manifested by attracting the classes and the masses. The masses he attracted through his beauty, through his devotion, through his emotions, and through his dancing. The classes he attracted through his profound presentation of the essential teachings of the Vedas. Talked about how he showed to Prakashananda Saraswati what is real Prakash, what is real Ananda, and what is real Saraswati. And he had tremendous impact by his teachings. But from the point of his meeting with Ramananda Rai, so if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has both Radha and Krishna inside him, when he's manifesting the compassion, it is he's channeling the Krishna within him. And when he's manifesting the passion, he starts manifesting the Radha within him. So from his interaction with Ramananda Rai, and that conversation, which is like no other conversation, where he's going to the highest levels of devotion, the Radha within him starts becoming channeled. And the Antya Leela, he's mostly channeling the Radha within him. That means he's manifesting, Krishna is experiencing the passion. What is the passion? I want to know that which I don't know. I want to know what my devotees are relishing. So, of course, he's preaching in the Antya Leela also, but by preaching through demonstrating the extraordinary ecstasy of devotion, he's having sixfold loving exchanges. So, Lord Chaitanya, when he's manifesting his compassion, he's merciful. Merciful like no other avatar in what he says, what he shares, and how he shares it far and wide. But he's also manifesting a Krishna's passion. And then he's mysterious. Now, what he experiences, how he behaves, that's extraordinary. And he's talking with somebody and just runs away, desperately chasing for Krishna, whom he's seen for a moment. He's manifesting Radharani's frantic anxiety to see Krishna, to be with Krishna. And then his body has extraordinary transformations. Limbs extending far, limbs shrinking into the body. All this is, and then whatever passion is talked about in other, divine passion is talked about in other traditions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests that far, far more to a superlative degree. And through all this, he's telling there is another world beyond what we perceive in this world. And that beckons all of us. Lord Chaitanya opens the doors for all of us to that. And how do we enter into that? We access his passionate devotion by assisting in his compassionate mission. So we savor Krishna's glories and we share Krishna's glories. And this way, we all can rise ultimately to enter into the to accept the gift of ecstatic love for Krishna that Lord Chaitanya savors and shares. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such amazing class and beautiful presentation, Prabhuji. Do you have time for questions, Prabhuji? Do you have time for questions, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Can anyone have any questions or any reflections?
Yes. You can have. I request all of you devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, you can raise your hands for the questions if you have. Okay. Vrinda Gopika Mataji, you can go ahead. I unmuted you.
Hare Krishna, Aiti Chaitanya Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga. Today you explained that what should our mood to serve Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we are so excited and not sleeping up to yesterday the Sridham Vrindavan Dham, Sisi Nityananda, Sisi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. So Abhishek and racing and so excited. So I'm not able to sleep up to 2:30 and then not able to get up early morning. Pray for us that we will complete our round in the Brahma Murata. Ananta Koti Dhanvat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai.
Yes, yeah, ultimately we want to offer our best to the Lord. The Lord is also understanding that if we have to extend ourselves in some ways, then the Lord understands that. Ultimately, we try to follow the higher standards, and at the same time, we understand that if the Krishna is not a judgmental God, he's an understanding God. We have our conditionings, we have our bodies have limitations. So whatever is required for Krishna's service, we do at different times. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Lalitangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Wonderful, wonderful class, Prabhuji. Connecting compassion and passion. So Prabhuji, my question is, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord acts as you said, as Krishna, as a Supreme Lord in some places and as his devotee in some places, but it is not you don't have a classification. It just flows like that. So how do we understand where he is as a Supreme Lord and where he is acting as his devotee?
I don't think we need to bother thinking about that. Overall, we understand that Krishna is manifesting different moods at different times. And ultimately, whatever mood he manifests, it's not that it is... it's not so easy to fragment the Lord's identity. That means he is who he is. And to the extent we understand that, he is ultimately our well-wisher. And we just relish his pastimes. Whenever it is, the context makes it clear. Sometimes it's very clear. For example, in the Mahaprakashila, for example, it's very clear that he is manifesting him. When he is asking his devotees also, that they ask for benedictions. Now, normally that is not the mood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't so much give benedictions. So I would say that there are times when it becomes clear. At other times, it's not so clear. But either way, even if it is not clear, we focus more on just relishing all his pastimes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Another specific question was when his talks with Venkatapata explaining the position of Lakshmi. So after explaining him, then he says that, it is just a joke and don't take it seriously, whatever I have told. So somebody may take that and say that whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said so far, is not, he himself is saying that don't consider this. So how to deal with such situations, Prabhuji?
So there are two things over here. Let's look at this from one perspective. That when Lord Chaitanya tells Venkat Bhatta that this is, I'm just joking. So see, there is tattva and there is rasa. So in terms of tattva, Krishna and Radharani and Krishna and Vishnu and everyone are the same. in terms of, it is one same God who is manifesting many different moods. And when he's manifesting these different moods, there is both, you could say, a personal and a universal aspect to devotion. What do I mean by this personal and universal aspect to devotion? That when Srila Prabhupada was in, he went to the Middle East only once, and he went to Iran. So when he was in Iran at that time, the devotees over there, they were talking about various activities happening there, and at that time, in the background, the prayers of the Namaz started. And Prabhupada closed his eyes and he heard out the full prayers. And when he opened his eyes were so bright. And he said, "Isn't that beautiful?" And then some of the devotees said, "Prabhupada, wouldn't it be better if they were chanting Hare Krishna?" And Prabhupada said, "Why are you making me sectarian? They're worshipping God in their way. We are worshipping God in our way." So now, what does that mean? Does that mean that both are completely equal? Well, not exactly. That yes, if you want to understand God in his ultimate manifestation as Vrajendra Nandan Krishna, then certainly we need to access him through the path of bhakti. So there is, for example, Prabhupada was dealing with most of his Western followers were from Christian background. And if somebody was already a committed Christian, somebody was a priest or somebody was an official, was office bearer in a church, Prabhupada would just encourage them to become better Christians. So he didn't expect or demand that they give up their Christianity and become devotees. So there is a universal aspect to devotion where those who are following a particular path, he encourages them to follow that path. And there is also, you could say, a personal or a confidential aspect to devotion. Now, many of his disciples, committed Christians. So for them, he said, if you are already climbing toward God from that path, continue that path. But if you're not really connecting with God or not committed to a path, then come to this path. Because from this path, you can access God very rapidly and you can access a manifestation, revelation of God that is not available in any other traditions. So that means there is this dialectic. At one level, we want people to relish Krishna bhakti because God reveals himself in a way that he has not revealed himself in any other tradition at any other time, the way he reveals himself in the bhakti tradition and in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So, but it is the same God who has revealed himself in other ways. So the idea is that if somebody is already pursuing God in some other way, fine. But if somebody is not pursuing God in a very diligent way, then come to this way. So we see Lord Chaitanya also manifest this at other times. When Murari Gupta is devoted to Lord Ram, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that, you know, Krishna manifests so much more attractiveness, so much intimacy. You should worship Krishna. And Murari Gupta tries and he says then later that, "I just can't." He says, "Give me permission to end my life. I can't live without following your instructions. But I cannot live by following your instructions. My mind just doesn't go away from Lord Ram. And I can't live if I can't follow your instruction, which is to worship Krishna. What should I do? I want to end my life." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hugs Murari Gupta and he writes on his forehead, "Ram Das." He's pleased with his devotion. So he doesn't try to convert Ram Das over there. He tells him Ram's glories are great, but he doesn't try to convert him. It tells him how Krishna is the most intimate manifestation of divinity, but he doesn't try to convert Murari Gupta. At the same time, this is a complicated subject, but I'll just make some points here. At the same time, in our parampara, Murari Gupta doesn't become an initiating guru. The Radhar Pandit becomes an initiating guru, Nityanandrabhu initiates, Advaita Acharya initiates. But because Murari Gupta's devotion is accepted and exalted, but because his devotion is to Ram, he doesn't become an initiating guru in our tradition. So there is this universal and confidential aspect. That means for those who want to access devotion to Krishna, they are welcome to do that. we know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu South India travels, there is a Ram Bhakta is constantly chanting Ram's names. And then he meets Lord Chaitanya and he starts chanting Krishna's names. And that's wonderful. So there he comes and starts chanting Krishna's names. But Murari Gupta does not. And both are accepted. Not that anybody is condemned. So in his dialogue with Venkat Bhatta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing the ultimate intimacy of the manifestation of God's revelation as Krishna. But at the same time, he's not imposing it on Venkat Bhatta. He's not saying, if you continue worshipping Vishnu, you'll be wrong. That's why he opens that door for him and then he leaves it to him. All that I spoke was in the mood of joke. But Venkat Bhatta doesn't take it as a joke. He says, no, actually what you're saying is very true. And Venkat Bhatta and his entire family becomes devoted to Lord Chaitanya. So that is how we also have to, when we are sharing Krishna Bhakti with others, now there is the confidential aspect and there is a universal aspect also. So if somebody can come up and follow the path of Krishna Bhakti and relish the revelation of Krishna as is provided by Lord Chaitanya, that's wonderful. But if somebody can't, we don't have to denigrate them. We don't have to condemn them. They can continue in whatever they are doing and get elevated gradually. So if somebody says, oh, this is all a joke. Well, did Lord Chaitanya speak all that philosophy as a matter of joke alone? Well, he's a sannyasi. He is having a serious philosophical discussion. He's quoting Shastra to support. He's giving pastimes from scripture. So that's not simply a joke. So you could say in that sense, in devotion, there is both the specific and the confidential and the universal. So that dynamic tension between the confidential and the universal is manifested by Lord Chaitanya and his interactions with Venkat Bhatta, where he opens the doors to the universal. Sorry, he opens the doors to the confidential. How there is no revelation of the divine like Krishna. But at the same time, after opening the door, he doesn't force anybody to come into the door. Keeps it open. And this is just a joke. That's the beauty of the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Ved. Achintya Bheda Ved means we accept that Krishna is the ultimate reality, but we don't impose it on others. We don't disrespect. If somebody is a Sri Vaishnava, is worshipping Vishnu very devotedly, we don't have to get into an argument with them and say, no, Vishnu is not supreme, Krishna is supreme. There is room for transcendental subjectivity in bhakti. In Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the Gopu Kumar is going, first he goes to Vaikuntha, then he goes to Ayodhya, then he goes to Dwarka. It is described at that time that when he's in Vaikuntha, he is very happy initially, but then he feels some emptiness in his heart. But it is described that the Vaikuntha Vasis think that Vishnu is supreme. And they think that Krishna and all other avatars come from Vishnu. When he goes to Ayodhya, the Ayodhya Vasis think that Ram is supreme. And they think everybody else comes from Ram. And Sanatana Goswami doesn't put in a bracket over there. Actually, they're wrong. Now, if that is that is the manifestation of the Lord that attracts their hearts, then we accept that. That's glorious. So that dynamic tension between confidential and universal, that is what is how Achintya Bheda Ved is manifested. So Krishna and Vishnu, are they one? Yes. And that inconceivable is relation. So that is what is manifested through this conversation. Does it answer your question?
Wonderful and brilliant answer, Prabhuji. It helps us understand so many pastimes like this, which I was having doubts while reading. Thank you so much. Your class is also exceptional, Prabhuji. You took the whole mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broken into two and explained their relations with each other and also how it's unique and very, 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 very relevant to us. So thank you so much. And also I'm reflecting on that Murari Gupta's diaries form the basis of the biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that shows his versatility. And yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you very, very much for your association. Hare Krishna.
Happy to your service. Thank you for that thoughtful question also. Any other questions? Can we stop now?
Yeah, if no questions, we can take a call here.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And the opinion of God, Shri Gauram,
Prabhuji, Jai.
Shri Gauram, 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 Shri Gauram,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat.